The following is a presentation from Lancaster Baptist Church and Pastor Paul Chapel.
Back in the mid part of the 18th century, 1750, 1760, and so forth, there was a man by the name of John Ryrie that taught young preachers. He mentored many preachers. And preachers would come in, they would ask him questions. He was a great theologian. He has written a commentary. He was a great man of God. Mightily used of God in the country of England. One day in the midst of all of those questions and answers and so forth, a young man stood up and posed a question. And the question was this, Dr. Ryrie, do you believe that the churches in England today have as much a responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature on the face of the earth as did the first disciples? And in response to that, that great theologian expressed the attitude of the churches in England at that time. And his answer was, young man, sit down and shut up. If God wants to save the heathen, he can do it without you and me. And I'm positive that the young man sat down and shut up for a few minutes. But he began to write and he began to emphasize all everywhere he would go that we that have the gospel have a great responsibility to preach the gospel to the entire world. And several years later, on a very good day, May the 30th, and that's a good day. That's the day I was born, just in case you want to put it down, birthday presents, everything expected, all right? But May the 30th, 1792, he preached a great mission sermon to a group of Baptist preachers in England. And the theme of the message was, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. And as a result of that message and some help from other preachers that joined with him, they formed a missionary society, and he became the first missionary from that society. He had practically everything against him. The government of England did not want him to go to India. The churches did not want him to go. His wife did not want him to go. I mean, nobody wanted him to go, but he was determined. By the grace of God, I'm going to India. And of course, you know the rest of the story of William Carey, the father of modern day missions. And I think of people like William Carey, and I think of people that have stood on this platform tonight, and people that have made a great impact on the world. They were just rather simple people that made themselves available to God. Dr. Bob Jones Sr. is credited with saying, the greatest ability in all the world is availability. In the Bible, we have person after person after person making the statement, here am I. Seemingly a very simple statement. Here am I. Moses was out on the backside of the desert. He had been a fugitive for 40 years. He saw a bush that was burning, and nothing real unusual about a bush that was burning, except the bush just kept burning, and was not consumed. And he turned aside to see the wonder of that. And when he did, God spoke to him out of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And we hear Moses saying, here am I. God began to talk to Moses about what he was going to do for the nation of Israel. I've heard the prayers of my people in the Egyptian bondage, and their prayers have come up to my ear, and I'm going to release them from that horrible bondage. And Moses, no doubt, was very happy about that until God said, and Moses, I'm going to send you to do it. And then Moses got a little bit concerned. Who am I? I can't speak very well. I've often, every time I hear that story about Moses not speaking very well, and then later the Lord told him, you know, cast the rod on the ground and became a snake, and he said, reach down and pick it up by the tail. And I remember our friend Dr. Curtis Hudson used to say, when God said that to Moses, Moses said, Lord, I know I couldn't speak very well, but now I can't hear very well, okay? In essence, Moses said, here am I. Here am I. Isaiah one day saw a thrice holy God high and lifted up. The seraphims were saying, holy, holy, holy. And after seeing this wonderful vision, having himself cleansed, then he said, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah, man, answered by saying, here am I. Send me. And God said to him, go and tell this people. And Isaiah became God's man for that generation. God's prophet to the nation of Israel. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Genesis, we find a man by the name of Abraham. I want you to open your Bibles to that tonight. And in three different verses in this chapter, Abraham makes the same statement that Isaiah made. He makes the same statement that Moses made. Here am I, or here I am. And in reality, what that means is, I am available to you. I am submitting myself to you. I'm available. And time after time in the chapter that we have before us, Abraham makes this same kind of statement. Here I am. Look at it in verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, behold, say it with me. Here I am. Here I am. Look down in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my son. And he said, say it with me. Here am I. Look over in verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, say it with me. Here am I. And throughout this chapter and throughout his life, Abraham simply made himself available to God. And as I contemplated the message tonight, I could not help but think, what could happen? What kind of an impact could we make on our world by the grace of God if just the people in this congregation tonight, like Abraham and like Moses and like Isaiah, would make that statement, here I am, here am I am available, Lord, whatever you want me to do, here I am, whatever I have, here I am. And again, I repeat, the greatest ability in all the world is availability. You don't have to be smart. God's smart, amen. He's omnipotent. You don't have to necessarily be strong. God is strong. He is omnipotent. All we have to be is to be available. Available to be used in any way that God would have us to be used. Listen to Abraham as he said, here I am. Number one, he said, here I am ready to go anywhere you want me to go. Wouldn't that be something tonight? If all of our college students, all of our high school students, all of our young couples, all of our middle-aged couples would really be willing to say tonight, "Here, my God, I am ready to go anywhere you want me to go." By the way, that's exactly what Abraham did. In Genesis chapter 12, we have these words. "Now the word of the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." All God had said was, "Abraham, get out of the place where you're living. Get out of the Ur of the Chaldees." And he didn't even tell him where he was going. And the writer of Hebrews gives us some insight on the situation with Abraham. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 says, "By faith," by the way, that will make us available to God. Faith in an almighty God. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance," now listen to the next word, "obeyed." He was called to go out to a place which he would later receive, and he obeyed. And the next statement said, "And he went out not knowing whether he went." In other words, God didn't say, "Abraham, I want you to go here and here and here and here." No, no, no. He said, "Just get out." Can you imagine, and many of you young men that are going to the mission field can't, going to your father-in-law and saying, "God has called me to the mission field. I'm taking your daughter and I'm taking your grandchildren to the mission field." And by the way, when most of you said that, at least you knew where you were going. But can you imagine going to your father-in-law and saying, "I'm going to the mission field. I'm taking your daughter. I'm taking your grandchildren." And the father-in-law, "Okay, where are you going?" "I don't know where we're going. We're just going." Thank God we at least knew where we were going. Amen. But Abraham didn't know where he was going. And the Bible just simply said he obeyed. In other words, he believed that wherever God took him would be the very best place in the world for him. Amen. Could I submit to you tonight? The best place in the world for you is where God wants you. The safest place in the world for you is where God wants you. Virginia and I have lived in a lot of different places. I hesitate to tell you this because you'll think I'm not very stable, okay? But we've lived in Kentucky, and we've lived in Indiana, and we've lived in Illinois, and we've lived in Tennessee, and we've lived in Japan, and we've lived in California. I mean, we've just lived in a lot of different places. It sounds like every time the rent was due, we moved, okay? And every once in a while, someone would say to me, "Brother Chapel, Brother says, where did you like to live best?" And anytime somebody says that, I scratch my head and say, "Man, I don't have any idea. I just like to live." Amen. But honestly, I can look back over all of those places. Silent Run, you know, big metropolitan city down in Kentucky, you know. A little trailer park in Indiana. Japan, where we had, in the beginning, absolutely no furniture. No, I can remember when we had a little bit of Melimac, and we had a cardboard box, and we had two twin beds and put them all together, and four of us slept in those two twin beds. And we were as happy as the Lord. And you know why? We were where God sent us. the best place in the world for you. The place where there's real peace and real joy and real contentment is wherever God wants you to be. Now, the devil has put in our mind a horrible thought. If I made myself available to God to go anywhere he wanted me to go, God would send me somewhere that would make me miserable the rest of my life. And could I submit to you, that is a poor conception of our God. I'll never forget hearing the testimony years ago of Ron Bishop, the athletic director and basketball coach at Tennessee Temple School. Ron got saved when he was about 16 years old. He went to camp right after that, and he got a real heavy crush on one of the college students that was a counselor. And, you know, sometimes teenage boys do that. He said, she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen in my whole life. And he said, every once in a while I'd hear a missionary say, I told God I would go anywhere but Africa, and God sent me to Africa. I told God I'd do anything but preach, and God called me to preach. I told God I'd preach, but I would not be, and God called me to mission field. And Ron said, all of a sudden I heard all these testimonies, and I began to pray, dear Lord, don't make me marry that girl and send me to Hawaii as a missionary. Okay. And he said, sure enough, God didn't do either one. Amen. Sometimes we have the concept. The only place I could really be happy would be Lancaster, California. And by the way, thank God for Lancaster, California. I mean, the last 10 years of our life had been so blessed by being here. And most of our family and most of our friends thought we were crazy when we moved out here. But it's been the happiest place we've lived. I mean, I could not have spent 10, 11 years anywhere better than the time that we spend here. And you could say the same thing about Japan and Tennessee and on and on. And what are you saying, Brother Sis? Where God wants you is a very blessed place in all the world for you. It doesn't matter if it's the Philippines. It doesn't matter if it's Kuwait. It doesn't matter if it's Afghanistan. It doesn't matter if it's the deepest part of Africa. It doesn't matter where it's at. God made you, and he made you for a place. And I dare every one of you tonight to dare to say to God, like Abraham, here am I. I'm willing, I'm ready to go anywhere you want me to go. Number two, he said, here am I when you want me to go. Look at verse 2 in our passage. And he said, God speaking to Abraham, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now listen to the next statement. And Abraham rose up early in the morning. He did not hesitate. I guarantee you, Abraham, even though he would have had a Tempur-Pedic mattress, did not get any sleep that night. I've often wondered if he told Sarah about this. I mean, you know, I don't know. That's just for y'all, okay? You can think about that. But can you imagine him rolling and tossing all night long? Was that really God speaking to me? Does God really want me to take Isaac, my only son, the son that I've waited for all of these years? Does he really want me to take him and offer him as a burnt offering? And every time anything like that would come into his mind, he would always come back to the thing. Oh, I know the voice of God. It was God speaking to me. And therefore, I have to do what God said to do. So he did not hesitate. He did not say, okay, we'll think about this and we'll talk about this and we'll do this and that and so forth, and eventually we will do it. No, 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 no. Early the next morning, he got everything ready. fully intended to take Isaac and offer him up on an altar for a sacrifice to God. So many times people are going to do something sometime. Sometime. Someday I'm going to really get serious about church. Someday I'm going to become a soul winner. Someday I'm going to begin to tithe. Someday I'm going to begin to give to mission. Someday I'm going to really do what God would have me to do. And many of you, I believe from the depth of my heart, you know that God wants you to do it, but for one reason or another, you're procrastinating. And when you do, you're wasting time. So he said to God, "Here am I. I'm ready to go when you tell me to go." Don't you love the verse in Ecclesiastes when the preacher makes this statement? "Whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it with thy might." And the emphasis is, do it now. And then he goes on to say, "For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest." Hey, by the way, you're not going to live forever. And none of us know how long we're going to live. So whatever God is talking to us about doing, then we ought to do it now. Say not, "There are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest." Lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white already unto harvest. I mean, we don't have time to sit around and figure whether we can do it or not, or what other people will think about it. If God has called us to do something, then today is the day that we're to get started doing what God tells us to do. Abraham said, "I'm willing to go. I'm ready to go wherever you want me to go. Here I am. I'm yours. I belong to you. I don't belong to myself." We are not our own. We're bought with a price. God did not just save us. Salvation is not just an insurance policy against hell. When God saved us, he had a purpose for us. We were redeemed for a reason. We were saved for service. We were purchased for a purpose. God has a purpose for every one of us. The greatest thing in the world is to know the will of God. The greatest task in the world is to do the will of God. I'm ready now. Never forget when Virginia and I left Black Oak Baptist Church going to college. God called me to preach, and we had to go get some education. We didn't get much, you know that, okay? And I remember a young man saying to me, "Hey, Don, I'm really proud of you. God's called me to preach." And by the way, God had called him to preach. And he was a good preacher. I'd heard him speak and so forth. He was a good singer. "God's called me to preach. And someday I'm going to Bible college." I was in Bible college a couple of years. Went back to my home church and preached one time. Same fella came to me and said, "Hey, I'm really proud of you, Don. And I'm still planning to go to Bible college myself someday." I went to the mission field, came back to that area, preached a revival meeting. I saw him there. And every time I saw him, "I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it." At 45 years of age, he died. He never did do what God told him to do. I could not count the number of times that somebody has said to me, "When I was young, God dealt with my heart about doing something, and I never did do it." And they're the most miserable people in the world. God's speaking to you tonight. Tonight ought to be the night when you, like Abraham, would say, "Here am I. I'm ready to go anywhere you want me to go. And I'm ready to go when you want me to go." Then Abraham said, "Here am I," even when he didn't understand. Look, if you would, down in verse 5. "And Abraham said unto his young men, 'Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder to worship and come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father. And he said, my father. And he said, here am I. Here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. I am sure Abraham didn't understand all that was going on. I've never heard of Jehovah God asking anyone to offer his son or anyone else as a sacrifice. And he didn't understand all the situation. But even in the midst of his misunderstanding, he's saying to God, here am I. I don't understand it, God, but here I am. Here I am. Sort of like Peter one day, when Jesus had used Peter's ship and he told him to thrust out a little from the land. And then after he had done his preaching and so forth, he said to Peter, now launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draw. You remember Peter's word? Peter said, Lord, we have toiled all night and we've taken nothing. We're professional fishermen and we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught any fish. And obviously there's not any fish out there at this particular time. We've toiled all night and taken nothing. And by the way, when he said that, that was a reality. But then he went on to say, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You know what Peter was saying? Lord, I don't understand it. I'm a professional fisherman, and it doesn't look like we're going to catch a bunch of fish, but you said to let down the net, and I'm going to do it. By the way, when God speaks to your heart about something that doesn't seem quite right, me be a preacher, me be a missionary. Now, I'll never forget seeing my first Japanese Bible and looking at it with total confusion. Not one thing in there was understandable. It had been just as understandable if somebody would have, or if some chickens would have gone out in a muddy field and walked all over paper and then put the paper all together. And I've committed my life to go to Japan as a missionary. And I look at that Bible. There's nothing in it that resembles a word. And my first thought was, Lord, I'm from Kentucky. We have a difficulty with English. And you expect me to learn a language like Japanese? I don't understand it. Nevertheless, at thy word. Maybe when you get ready to commit, make your faith promise commitment this year. And I hope every, wouldn't it be something this year if every member of Lancaster Baptist Church would make a commitment to do something every week for world evangelization. And by the way, it may be when God begins to speak to your heart, and if you'll really pray about it, he will, okay? And God begins to speak to your heart, it may kind of scare you when he says, I want you to give this much. And you say, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand it. What you have to do is to obey. See, sometimes we think, oh, if I could just figure it out, if I could understand what's going to happen next week. No, 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 no. All we have to do, and it's over and over and over in the Bible, all we have to do is to obey. And when you obey, you'll begin to understand. I don't understand. Why would God want me to move from Eastern Tennessee to Lancaster, California? I didn't quite understand that. But after a little arm twisting from Dr. Paul Chaplin, Dr. Mark Rasmussen, I understood it well. You say, you mean God would have me to uproot my family and go to the mission field? Well, could be. I don't understand that. I'm happy here. I'm enjoying everything. Great, wonderful. You ought to enjoy where you're at. But when God speaks, you ought to go. When God speaks, you ought to give. My hours have been cut down. It's sort of a recession time. And I'm to give to missions. Oh, yeah. Because God's economy is not dependent on the economy of a country or of a company. God has his own economy. Amen. Remember about 5 years ago when they started talking about the depression or recession? You remember the statement I made? I said, I absolutely refuse to take part in the recession. You say, okay, how do you refuse to take part in a recession? Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. And it does not say, when the economy is good, give and it shall be given unto you. It simply says, give and it shall be given unto you. And I believe that we can give our way out of recessions as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. God says, do it. Do it. See, that's what Abraham is saying here. Then here's a hard one. Abraham said, here am I. I'm willing to give you anything you ask. Here am I. I'm willing to give you anything you ask. Look at it in verse 2 again. God said, take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering. What was the most precious thing in all the world? And by the way, Abraham was a very wealthy person. But what was the most precious thing in all the world to Abraham? And it's simple from reading the Bible. It was Isaac. Because in Isaac, all of the promises of God dwelt. I mean, they had waited for him all of these years. And now he's a young man. And God is saying, take him and offer him as a sacrifice on a mount that I'll show you. And Abraham's response is, here am I. Here am I. I'm willing to give God whatever he wants. By the way, wonder how long it's been since you as a parent have prayed that God would send your children to the mission field. I wonder how long it's been since you as a grandparent has prayed that God would send your grandchildren to the mission field. Hey, that's not an easy thing. I mean, you know, you're talking about precious. Children are precious. And all of us would want to be around them for all of their life and have them at our disposal anytime we want them. And we think that children are precious until we get grandchildren. Then children are totally insignificant, okay? And then if you live as long as me and Abraham, you can have some great grandchildren. And grandchildren become insignificant. But I wonder if we're not being a little bit selfish. When there's 7.1 billion people on the face of the earth, and conservatively speaking, half of them have never one time heard a gospel message. And when we think of the fact that only 6% of the population of those 7.1 billion people in the world speak English. And that 94% of all of the preaching that's done is done in the English language. And that means 6% of the preachers are preaching to 94% of the people of the world. Something is just not right about those figures. Evidently, somebody hasn't been listening. Evidently, somebody hasn't been praying. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Abraham said, "Here am I, Lord. I'm willing to give that which is most precious to you. Are you? Are you?" Abraham was really saying, "Dear Lord, everything I have belongs to you, and whatever it is, I'm willing to give it to you." I believe from the depth of my heart, there are a great number of people in Lancaster Baptist Church that have never caught hold of the fact that everybody ought to give something to missions every week. And I believe there is a great number of people in Lancaster Baptist Church that is given $25 a week, and you could be given $100 a week to missions. I believe there's people that's given $100 a week, and you could be given $200 or $300 a week. In other words, I believe this year we ought to get serious about what God said when he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I believe from the depth of my heart, the most important thing in all of the world for every truly believer is that we get a hold of the realization that God wants everybody to hear the message that we've heard. By the way, don't you like the little saying I give you every year? Let's say it again this year. Repeat after me, okay? Everyone giving something. And everyone giving more than they ever gave before. Now, one time with enthusiasm, okay? All right? Everyone giving something. And everyone giving more than we've ever given before. This is not just a piece of paper. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, when we as members of Lancaster Baptist Church make our commitment to tithe so that our church can function as it ought to function. And by the way, I believe from the depth of my heart, if every believer tithe, there would never be a financial problem. That's God's plan. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every member would give something to missions and really pray about what God would have you to give? And if everyone who is already giving would increase their giving. And that's what Paul told us to do. When your faith is increased, we shall be enabled by you to preach the gospel in the regions beyond. And so Abraham is saying, "Hear my Lord, I'm willing to give anything that you ask." And then in closing tonight, it's a good closing, okay? Abraham said, "Here am I." Look at it in verse 12. Well, let's begin reading with verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid his wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. By the way, get the heart of Abraham, okay? Can you imagine doing it? And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. The angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here am I." And he said, "Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering instead of his son. You know what Abraham is saying in verse 12? Here am I, Lord. I'm ready to receive your provisions. And by the way, if you will say, here am I, I'm willing to go anywhere you want me to go. Here am I am willing to go when you want me to go. I'm willing to do when you want me to do. Here am I, even though I might not understand it, I'm going to do what you want me to do. And here am I, Lord, I'm willing to give anything that you want me to give. Myself, my children, my grandchildren, my possessions, whatever it is, I'm willing to give anything that you want me to give. And if we will say those things, then God will say something like this to us. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's provisions is in God's place at God's time. If Abraham would have waited, the ram would not have been there. If Abraham would have gone someplace other than where God told him to go, the ram would not have been there. God's provision is in God's place and in God's time. Let me ask you to consider just before the invitation. In your own heart, how many of you would be willing to say, dear God, I don't know that you're calling me to be a missionary, but I'd be willing to go anywhere you want me to go. And by the way, shouldn't we? I mean, we serve a wonderful God. He's our Father. He's more concerned about our joy and peace and happiness than we are. Here am I. I'm ready to go anywhere you want me to go. Here am I, Lord. I'm ready to do it when you tell me to do it. Here am I, Lord. I might not understand it, but I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to obey. Here am I, Lord. Nothing I have is out of your reach. Everything I have is at your disposal. And when we get to that point, then we can have the provisions of God. And I look over nearly 60 years of ministry, and many of the places God led me to go and many of the things God told me to do, I did not understand it at all. But I obeyed. And all these years, God has been so wonderful to provide. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Pastor's going to come lead us in prayer. And I trust tonight I'm speaking to a great multitude of people that will say, like Abraham, like Isaiah, like Moses, here am I. Here am I. And like many of these missionaries here tonight, if you'll say that, God will use you the way you should.